Have you ever listened to a podcast and wondered how they got those A-list guests? Or maybe you know some key industry players that you would love to interview, but maybe you're feeling a little too nervous to ask and pitch them? I have internationally known business coach and podcast host, Catherine B. Roy, who shares her journey and pitch techniques that have landed her a Nobel Prize winner, athletes, actors, and other high caliber guests. So let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I, of course, am Lindsay Phillips, and I'm with internationally known business coach, Catherine Roy. And what piqued my interest about Catherine is that she has killer guests on her show and, of course, has podcasts for some time. And I'm like, how do you get those great guests, like famous people? And it just feels so unattainable. So wanted to tap your brain and your systems and processes, Catherine. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly my pleasure.
So how, just kind of like backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. When did you start your podcast? Tell, like, why did you start your podcast?
Well, that's a funny story. It was a few years ago. A client of mine is actually a podcast mentor, and he was like, you have to have your own podcast. You know, it's good for your personal brand. It's good for all the things online. And I was like, but I really don't want to start a podcast. Like, everyone is doing podcasts now. And he was like, please try. And then let me know. It was like, as I mentioned, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And my first episode title is actually why I didn't want to start my podcast.
That's awesome.
I think my next one might be why I don't want to quit.
Oh, I love that. I know. Yeah. We were talking beforehand, and that's exactly what happened to me. My coach is like, you need to be more visible and you need to start a podcast. And I just like, I'm too scared. Who's going to want to listen to me? But it's been years. I've had like 3 different podcasts, and what do you love about it most, or what surprised you most on your journey?
Well, actually, what I love the most is the possibility to establish that beautiful human to human connection. You know, we have a space and we have some time to really get to know someone. And these kinds of connections are very long-term. They're last long. Mm-hmm. And usually a lot of great partnerships and opportunities open up through these connections. Because, you know, when we meet someone, we actually don't know why. But I believe that we meet every single person in our life for a reason. And podcast was one of the sources which actually gave me the opportunity to meet incredible people. Like, mm-hmm. How would I even met some of these people? Like you just mentioned, but I will not disclose the secret. You can do that. Who are these people?
I know it is. That surprised me too. I was like, for me, I was just thinking like, oh, I get more exposure to my business. But once I kind of like, okay, you know, lessened the stress and got used to it, I forget that it's being recorded, and it's just like, I'm chatting with someone, and mm-hmm. the fact that people are like all over the globe, different backgrounds, different mm-hmm. expertise, like it's fun and it's interesting. And like you said, like you can build great relationships. Some I've been friends for years with.
And we can learn from each other. Every conversation has a value. So definitely we can learn from each other. It's a very, very nice thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the key highlights for you for your podcast? Like, what have been some of your favorite guests that you've had?
Well, honestly, a few times I felt like I don't even need to ask a question. It felt like mic drop when these people start to talk. And I had guests like people who won Nobel Peace Prizes, Emmy Awards, Oscar Awards, people who played in Premier League, professional football players, in NFL League, 6, 7, 8 figures business owners. The last one, which completely took me by surprise, and I was amazed by the story, was with a doctor who actually used electricity in his institute to activate the nerve cells in our brain. So it practically affects the central nervous system and increases creativity 50 to 70%, cures a lot of diseases. These kind of treatments made people, and he worked with Tony Robbins, Vishen Lakhiani, Michael Beckett, Neil Donald Walsh, they give a lot more potential to people. And I didn't even know something like that exists, you know. Actually, he sent me an email and asked me if I would like to have him as a guest. And when I read what he was doing, I was like, seriously? Like, he can, with electricity, affect the elements in our minds so that actually those people who have Alzheimer's diseases or who committed some kind of crime don't even think about doing something like that, because it's actually the way how our mind is connected. So imagine having someone like that who has like 35, 40 years of experience doing that all over the world, disclosing all these secrets to you and to your audience. It was mind-blowing. Or Laman Malik, he won a Nobel Peace Prize with the Institute. And they gave, I'm not sure what the number is, 6 billion or 6 million, whatever it is, to African hospitals to build new departments for children. Every single penny from the Nobel Peace Prize. And I'm sitting across him, talking to him, and we're talking about coffee. You know, there is no chance in this entire world, if I didn't create the platform like I did, that I will have the chance to speak with people like that. And some of them are my clients, you know, having someone who did everything from Star Wars, Star Trek, to every piece of Spider-Man and Batman in the voiceover art world in Hollywood, across myself and talking to her. And we're friends now. It wouldn't be possible without the podcast. But I will be honest. It happened to me that I received few no's from people who I truly cared about. And this is really, really interesting thing. Like, you mentioned how I'm actually, you know, getting to know these people. I lost the fear a long time ago when I, for the first time, showed up on a video in one closed Facebook group, which was led by Brian McGill, who is the owner of McGill Media. And he actually had reached more than Oprah and Taylor Swift at the time on Facebook, like more visibility, actually. And I recorded that video 12 times until I posted that, because I was too afraid. English is not my native language. I didn't know what I was doing. And he actually helped me. He gave me his hand. And he said, "You finally showed up. I've noticed you, but for the first time, you're now speaking. And I want to encourage you to do that every single day." And this is how I started actually to, you know, open up and communicate with people in the closed Facebook group. So the next thing which happened, which I think I never mentioned it publicly, actually a colleague of mine from the same group published something on Huffington Post. And I asked him how he did that, and he gave me an email address so that I can send a piece of the work I was writing. And at the moment, I had no idea that I was writing an email to Arianna Huffington herself. I realized that when I got a response, which was very polite, which was like, I was in shock, and she answered that she would love to feature my voice on the Huffington Post. And I published something, and I was like completely out of my mind. Then I understood something. People who are truly successful, not only in exterior world, but inside of them, like who are complete, they are truly awakened human beings. And they will be kind and polite to everyone, even if they say no.
Yeah.
So there is nothing to be afraid of.
That's true.
People who are not awakened, people who are in their ego, people who are living in this world to have a material gain, they might be a little bit harsh in saying no or even not replying at all.
Yeah.
But they are not my people.
Me neither.
So I gave myself permission to ask. And I just asked. And all of these amazing people said yes.
So. That's amazing. Because you can easily get caught up in your own head. And I've done it. There's been people that I wanted on my show. And I'm like, but they're this. Like, who am I? They're not going to want to come on my show. Like, and you get that whole imposter syndrome. And then you, and I'm like, just ask, just do it. And you ask, and they're like, I'd love to. And you're like, oh, yay. But it's so easy to feel that imposter syndrome. Like, how do you talk yourself out of it?
Well, it was hard one time when I truly, truly cared about the person I asked to be on my podcast. I truly saw her as a role model. She was my NLP trainer, and she is a public person. And she said she's making a pause in recording. And 2 days afterwards, she showed up on another podcast. So that was painful.
Yeah.
Because I would believe that, and I would accept I am making a pause now, but she really showed up on another podcast just 2 days after that. So I realized, okay, there will be people who will say no. And sometimes, you know, if you don't care, then fine. If you care, it might hurt. But again, in these moments, I remember who were the people who said yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I was blessed with so many people who came on my show, who were my clients. I work with people from 30 countries.
Oh, wow.
And just one no or two no's, it just doesn't matter, really.
True.
It will, at the end of the day, still when I remember this story, it's not easy. We need to build that resilience, you know. But for example, when I was publishing my book, my editor was someone who taught me that every rejection is just a divine redirection.
I was
rejected 246 times before one publishing house said yes. Can you imagine how much strength and resilience I needed to have?
I'd say.
And I didn't have. He helped me. He was there all the time saying, okay, these doors are closed. We're going to open a new one.
Yeah. I love that. And it's true. You just have to have that resilience. And I think too, that innate, like believing in yourself, believing that you have a message to share, information to help people. I know for me that keeps me going, and I just do it anyways, regardless of my own mental stuff that goes on. So getting to the nitty gritty part of like the logistics of asking and finding these types of guests, where do you source them out? Do you have a specific, like a company that you use, or just your own? Like, hey, I like this person and I like their story.
It's actually all from my heart. one of the people who I wanted to be on my show, I will not disclose who she is, who is still saying no, but very politely, said that she got the best pitch ever from me, but she still has to say no because she can't have time. But we will get there. When that happens, I will come to your show to share that information. I'm not giving up. But jokes aside, I was in one program for media training, actually. And they taught us how to pitch ourselves for television. So I was several times on TV. So it's the same. Like when you're pitching yourself to be a guest, it's the same like you're pitching to someone to be your guests. Right. So, you know, Nathan Hirsch, for example, recommended you. The email which I sent you has a specific formation of, first of all, my, you know, open heart and kindness towards the person I'm writing to, presenting myself of who am I, regardless of the topic, and of course, asking if there is an open space for a collaboration. It's the same with any kind of pitch. Like when we're pitching to media, usually we have, I created a media page. So my expert topics, my bio, and all my previous features. So, you know, when someone opens the page, they see everything and we don't need to go back and forth.
Exactly.
And it makes things simpler. The same when I'm asking someone to be a guest, I have a page where everything is explained. And I just mentioned who were my previous guests and that I believe that they would be a perfect fit. And that's all. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it will happen with someone else.
True, true. Now for you, like what makes a perfect fit? And I'll sort of backtrack a little bit because I know some people within the podcasting space, they think, oh, that show is super famous or has like a ton of downloads, I need to be a guest on it. Or that person has so many followers, I need to have them on my show.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, how do you figure out, like, is that the right approach to have? Or is there like a criteria that you use?
In my case, no, I have a very strong intuition and I really do everything from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel right away if someone is going to be a good fit or not, because I simplified my life with having three main core values, and that's love, kindness, and integrity. And if I see or feel these values in a person, then it's a simple yes. But I had the experience that podcast hosts actually asked me about my online presence, about, you know, what I can do for them. I understand that, and I have a very strong online presence. But in my case, I don't invite only people who have a strong online presence to gain publicity for my show, but I invite people who can truly share value with my audience. And who can truly, you know, share the nuggets which can help, because my target audience are coaches, consultants, business owners, entrepreneurs. And we are all in the mindset of growth, both professionally and personally. So if a person can share something which can be beneficial, and I see that that can be beneficial with for my audience, then it's a yes.
Yeah.
I don't sweat my potential guests by the, you know, the number of followers or whatever we can call that. Because on one side, yeah, that would be a good thing for my show. But on the other side, even if I am guest, I never know who is listening or watching to that. And we just need one person, one right person. It doesn't matter if there are 100,000 of people, if they're not my target group, right? So yeah, for me, it's not a game of numbers.
Yeah.
It's a game of quality and the long-term lasting. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's totally how I feel. I mean, it's, yes, it's great to tap into huge audience, but for me, if the energy and the personality isn't there, then it just feels like a weird conversation and that's not great for the listener.
People and feel that.
They do.
Yeah.
It's awkward. And I want to enjoy the conversation. And same with the content. I want, for me, the content is always first and foremost. I want to make sure it has value for the listeners. And it's something that is within the realm of the mission that I have for the podcast. But yeah, like you said, the personality and kind of like the energy, I don't know, that is like a runner up for me for sure. So people don't really talk about that part of it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So how, like, do you, in the pitch process, just because obviously I want to, you know, inspire, but also help the audience to kind of wrap their head around some tips. When it comes to pitching, do you typically like email? Do you follow up? Do you use social media? Can you share some tips or insights of what you find works well for you?
To be honest, LinkedIn works the best for me. I'm completely in love with it, and I'm a LinkedIn trainer, and I adore everything about it. Mails can sometimes end in spam or promotion, or someone will not just read it, right? But LinkedIn has that personal note. At the beginning, when I was starting my podcast, my first guests were, there was a Suzy Green, for example, who was a songwriter for Michael Jackson. And she is someone who I met in the previous group, which I mentioned to you. So it's not like I pitched her completely out of blue.
Right.
Right. Tasia, who I mentioned is a voiceover artist in Hollywood, was my client. And Lamine, who is Nobel Peace Prize winner, also was someone I met in one of the groups. So I didn't send any kind of cold invitations.
Right.
Okay. But there is a way that I do things. I call that an A-list method. I use it usually for my business growth because I am, I love public speaking also. I love being on summits, on interviews and something like that. And things work the same everywhere. And for that, I use LinkedIn. For example, there are always industry leaders or leading podcasts, for example, or important editorial teams in magazines or wherever, like, for example, now in Forbes. And we know who are these people, but it's very hard to be connected with them, right? Yeah. So there are always B-listers, super connectors, and people usually call me a super connector. And those are the people who can connect us with the A-list. So what we need to do is intentionally build our LinkedIn network and building long-term relationships with B-listers. Those are super connectors. And usually these people are our guests on the podcast and they can introduce us to the A-list. And this is how we actually have the A-list as a guest or any kind of partnership or any kind of, you know, marketing collaboration or whatever it is. So, for example, in my industry, Gary Vee or Mario Folio are industry leaders.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to be connected with them one-on-one, right? But there are always people who are between us. There is like one or two people who are between us. And I think these are the golden connections.
Smart.
So practically we're building our network because I believe our network is our net worth.
Yeah.
And everything is in business is human to human connection. People like to do business with people who they trust. The same thing goes with podcasting. And the other thing, which I previously mentioned, is knowing how to write that pitch. And that's a standard way of doing things, of pitching, having a one sentence which explains who we are, having written a media bio, and presenting ourselves as a value which, if they add to their audience, will be value for them. So it's not like, or vice versa. It's not like if I'm offering someone to be a guest on my show, I'm offering them because I want to get publicity, but they will get publicity also.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I already have a strong network.
Yeah.
So in networking, we need to like know the rule of five gifts. I don't know if that's familiar, that's Kit Ferrazzi's formula. What are the five things which I can give to that person? You know, if it is a podcast host, what are the values, the tips, the tricks that I can share with the audience that everyone will benefit?
Yeah.
But also, what are the things that I can do for her? Because I'm asking for her to be a guest on her show or inviting her to be a guest of mine. So I am the one who is initiating that. And I need to have something valuable to offer so that's beneficial for both of us. So if we write that with obvious, you know, value sharing between both of us and intentionally build connection around, it's not so difficult to have a very, very interesting guest on my show. And later they will have agencies. And they will just send emails to you like you received my email and here we are.
I know. I can always tell though when, I don't know if I'm just good at reading it or what, but I feel when someone's genuine. Mm-hmm. And there's that human interaction that's it's not transactional, it's not just a form letter. And like you said, I think when you're, as corny as it sounds, like leading from the heart, or I always call people when they have an open heart, that I feel that they are approachable and caring, then I feel that. So I automatically gravitate to those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, if you're giving value in the emails, if you're, you know, reaching out to them from a genuine perspective and an authentic place, then I think that it comes across.
It comes across, yeah. And the better thing is if they already heard about you.
Yeah.
If they can find information online about you or someone recommended you, then there is always, obviously, you know, a spot which connects us. So that's also a good way to go.
Yes. And that's where it's like, really leaning into the relationships that you're having when you are having a guest on your show or you're a guest, that you can't treat it as a transaction. It's, again, I love how you say it, where there's like, there might be one or two people between you and someone else.
And Oprah, like,
yeah. And like using those connections, it's like, that's so true. But you don't think of it that way. You always think, oh, that person is not accessible. You know, there's no direct line between me and them, but the relationships that you have. And yeah, I've had some amazing introductions because of people that I've known and I've introduced others. And I think we're, as humans, we're naturally, relationships are important to us. So why repel that part of ourselves? I think it's great to lean into it and use it.
Yeah, and you might be surprised. Like I had no idea that that's even possible, but I was booked 22 times for November.
Holy.
To be a guest. Yeah, and I was like, seriously, like this happened? I really didn't expect anything like that because I decided to dedicate November actually to podcasting, being a guest, but yeah. I'm also recording episodes in advance. I never did so many podcasts like I'm doing this
that's
month.
A lot, Catherine.
That's a lot. Yeah. You know, and I was like, am I even able to do all of this? Yeah. Nathan warned me. He said, he said, please don't book so many podcasts a day. Like one time he had five in one day and he couldn't walk after that, you know, and I was like, no, that's not going to happen to me. But yeah, it did happen. And it feels very good. because then you know how many people are really open and generous and kind, and how this world can be a nice place, you know. And now after this interview, in an hour I have another one. So yeah, but it feels like I love doing that.
Yeah,
and
it feeds your soul, it energizes you.
Feeds my soul. Yeah, exactly.
Because some people find like the interaction or doing a lot of interviews in one day or whatever, that it's like draining their energy because yes. they're mm-hmm. on, so to speak. But if you're the type like you, where you, it energizes you and mm-hmm. you love it, then why not fill your day doing the things that you love?
Exactly.
I love it. I so appreciate your tips and your insights. And even just inspiring us to go after and ask for, you know, those shows or those guests that we may not feel worthy of, and kind of get rid of that imposter syndrome. I think that's really important for people to hear and understand. So
there's one thing which came to my mind now when you mentioned that, if you allow me.
Of course.
There is one thing which can make it all much easier, and that's building our personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing which I learned a few years ago and I worked very hard on. And it's really, really much easier. Even if people don't know us, they will Google, will search, and they will see what they need to see. And it will make our life much easier, because much less people are going to say no in both business or podcast space. So that's like, if there is something to take away from this episode, that's like, number one, build your personal brand. People will know who you are, and practically there will be much less rejection. Although that you know, you can have like 100 yes if you get rejection from someone you truly care about. That hurts still, but let's get on with it.
But sometimes it's like, it may feel like it's a fit for you, but you don't know what their journey is, their situation is.
Exactly.
That's totally external, and it's just not a fit for them at that time.
Exactly.
So it has nothing
to do with you. Personal. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're so right with the personal brand. It instantly instills that level of credibility, authority, trust. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of opens up those doors a little bit easier than if you don't have your personal brand up to snuff.
Yeah, if people don't know and they can't find anything, it's kind of a tough to really, you know, be out there. But if they do, then it's really much easier. For example, I was preparing a workshop about artificial intelligence, and I received an email from one guy who is in a board of American Institute for Artificial Intelligence. And he said, I saw your workshop and I saw you have a podcast. Would you like to interview me? And that was all. I didn't even search for him. He came my way. So yeah, we just need to be like seen.
Yes.
It's going to be okay.
So true. Visibility and authority. I know they're big words, but they are important. Absolutely. So how can people find you, connect with you, listen to your podcast, all those good things?
Well, as I mentioned, LinkedIn is the best place. I'm really there. My assistants are on other social media, but I'm in love with LinkedIn, and for sure I will be there. CatherineBeroy.com is my website. And we couldn't figure out the better name back then, because as I mentioned, I didn't want to start my podcast. So the Catherine Beroy Show is the name of my podcast.
It's your brand.
It really is a show. It became my brand.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's available everywhere in audio and also on YouTube in a video format. Yeah.
Good for you. I'm so glad we met and that you came on my show. Yeah, I can tell that you have an open heart. You're a warm, giving person, and clearly you're smart and have a lot of confidence. And yeah, I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I truly enjoyed.
All right, folks, we will see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.